When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Enjoying this episode of the Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
It's the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert.
My first guest tonight is a 2-time Academy Award winner, a Tony winner, and an all-around legend. Please welcome back to The Late Show, the one, the only, Denzel Washington. Lovely to have you back, not just on the show, but on a proper Broadway stage here. You're no stranger to trotting the boards. And started that right here
trotting
in...
Trotting
the boards, you know. The boards, the theater boards. Yeah. There you go. And started doing so when you were in college at Fordham.
Uh-oh.
Okay, here you go.
Oh.
There's your first production in college, right?
Eugene O'Neill's The Emperor Jones.
There you are. Freshman.
I know. I was a junior.
Junior.
I thought I was supposed to act mean and be serious.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice for this, 20-year-old, 21-year-old, something like that? You have any advice for this kid right here? Because he seems pretty confident already.
Thank you. Ignorance is bliss. That was the first leading role I ever played. And I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I'd go out and peek and look at the audience. And, you know, count, see if my mom was out there or something. But
How often was your mama?
Every night.
That's what moms do. Now, you're in the new film adaptation of what we'll call the Scottish play.
Right, Macbeth.
You know, yeah, exactly. You can say it. Right. And directed by Joel Coen, co-starring Frances McDormand. Extraordinary. First of all, there is, for people who don't know, there is a tradition, a superstition, not to say the name of that play... If you want to say it.
You mean Macbeth?
Yes. Not to say the name of that play in a theater because it's bad luck. Were you taught that?
I'm a God-fearing man. I don't play that, man. I don't.
All right.
I don't believe in ghosts.
Fine. Macbeth. Okay. Okay. So you've played a lot.
Who started that?
Probably someone who didn't do well in Macbeth.
Probably.
Blamed it on a superstition. You've done a fair amount of Shakespeare at this point. You've been in Othello, Richard II, Coriolanus, Julius Caesar, Much Ado About Nothing.
With Keanu.
What was your first encounter with Shakespeare? First time having to read it or perform it? What was your first
Othello.
Time?
After I did The Emperor Jones, mm-hmm. I played Othello at Fordham University as well, where he was younger than everyone else in the cast.
Some people, when they first come to Shakespeare, have trouble cracking it, like cracking the meaning open.
Right.
Like every sonnet is almost like this little box you have to open and completely so you can understand it. What's your process like to work on Shakespearean monologues and that sort of thing?
I went to Fordham University in the Bronx for 2 years and then down Lincoln Center for 2 years. And Lincoln Center? At the Lincoln Center Library, they had records of the plays. Mm-hmm. So they had Olivier's Othello. Mm-hmm. So I'd put the headphones on. Oh, my Lord. Sit there and I'd go, oh, my Lord. You know, ignorance is bliss. I didn't know. I was like, okay, I'll sing it like this.
And sure.
Make it happen. And people seem to like it.
Have you gotten advice from any sort of a well-known Shakespearean performers when you were younger to give you an entrance into it? Like, this is how you do it, or this is, don't worry about the singing, or forget the meter. Like, has anybody given you any advice?
I'm sure. Yeah. Yes.
That's all I wanted to know. That's all I want to know is that someone gave you advice.
I hope they did.
Would you like to give me some advice?
I would like for you to give me some advice.
About Shakespeare?
Yes.
I've never performed Shakespeare except like in an acting class.
Now's the time. Now is the winter.
Oh. Speak it trippingly on the tongue.
But if you mouth it.
Mouth it.
As many of your players do.
Do, okay, exactly. Do not saw the air thusly.
With your head, but use all wisely, for in the very torrent tempest, as I may say, whirlwind of your fashion.
I do.
I don't know where I found that one.
I do know tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in its petty pace from day to the last syllable of recorded time, and all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out, brief candle. Life's but a walking shadow, a poor player who struts and frets his hour upon the stage and is heard no more.
It is a
tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying
nothing, ladies and gentlemen.
But let's talk about that. Let's talk about Macbeth for a second.
That was great, man.
What do you think's going on with Macbeth? That is the best encapsulation of a feeling of depression that anyone has ever written. That one little speech that I just did.
He wants it. He's due. He's overdue.
He wants to be king.
He's supposed to be king. It's good to be king.
What about him and Lady Macbeth? Is that a good relationship? I'm just curious. Well, like, as an actor, do you like to investigate, like, okay, do we... Because she's certainly known for pushing him, you know, screw your courage to the sticking post. She's pushing him. Go be king.
Right.
But is it a good... Do they have a loving relationship? Do you guys, you and Francis, talk about that?
Yes. We changed the line that talked about her ability to have children. She could not have an heir. She could not have a child. Mm. And that was a frustration of hers. And, like I said, we are up in years. And we felt like it was our turn. And most importantly, he dived into the dark side. He listened to the devil. He listened to the witches. He listened to those people, and they took him down.
We have to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more Mr. Denzel Washington, everybody.
I'm Rachel Martin. After hosting Morning Edition for years, I know that the news can wear you down. So we made a new podcast called Wild Card, where a special deck of cards and a whole bunch of fascinating guests help us sort out what makes life meaningful. It's part game show, part existential deep dive, and it is seriously fun. Join me on Wildcard, wherever you get your podcasts. Only from NPR.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, early and ad-free on the 48 Hours Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts.
I'm sorry to hear that you lost your mother this year.
Yeah,
at the age of
97.
It's a great blessing to have your mother so long.
She didn't get cheated, nor did my brother and my sister and I.
You said that a mother is a son's first love.
Mm.
And I'm curious... How do you honor that love and her love for you and her memory with your work?
A mother is a son's first true love. A son, especially that first son, is a mother's last true love. I'm getting choked up. Sorry. But tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow, my wife that loves you. You know when I knew that? When I saw my son, John David Washington, handle my wife. I don't care what he does. She's going, all right, baby. What happened? Well, Ma, I think I got rid of sick somewhere. Just give me the clothes and bring me all the stuff. And that's when I realized, you know, really, really, that bond. And, you know, she was there for everything. And she went home. You got a tissue?
Oh, I got a tissue.
Oh,
for you.
Got
a tissue for you. There you go. There you go. Here's your mother. This is the 1990 Academy Awards. Mm-hmm. Best Supporting Actor for Glory.
This is terrible. And, oh, didn't cry at a funeral.
Why do you think?
I don't know. I guess I saved it up for use. Crying out loud.
You know, the interesting thing about this confidence, this guy, his confidence right here.
Right.
Sigmund Freud, who had his faults, said that a son who believes himself to be his mother's favorite has a lifelong confidence that nothing can shake.
Wow. I don't know if I was a favorite. I gave her the hardest time, I can tell you that. I gave her a hard time.
Well, Denzel, it was really wonderful to see you again. Thanks so much for coming.
My pleasure. Hug him, love him. You know well. You've been down that road?
Yeah, a couple times. Thank you, Denzel. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more. And Late Show Pod Show listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Hey everyone, it's David Duchovny. Do you ever feel like a failure? Trust me, I get it. Hell, I've spent my whole life almost feeling like a failure. It's appropriate, though, because on Fail Better, my new podcast with Lemonada Media, exploring the world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives, is the whole point. Each week, I'll chat with artists, athletes, actors, and experts about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, I hope we can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out on May 7th, wherever you get your podcasts.